This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special.
Welcome to the podcast. Today, pretty much every sports franchise around the country is going to change their name to probably something inoffensive. I don't know if there's anything inoffensive that's actually left, but the Redskins almost certainly seem to be gone. Indians look like they're going that way too. We'll see who else is going to be removed from the record books. We also talk about Glenn's special that happened this past weekend. You got to go check that out. It's at blazetv.com/Glenn. If you use the promo code FIGHTTHEMOB, you can save $20 off your subscription. There's a whole new version going to be uploaded in super high definition later this week. You can wait for that as well, but it's worth making sure that you check out. And we talked to a congressional candidate from Baltimore who's trying to take Elijah Cummings' seat, a Republican, African-American, who has a different perspective from what you're hearing in the mainstream media. Make sure you check that out as well. It's an hour three. BlazeTV.com/Glenn is the place to go to get the subscription. Fight the Mob is the code for $20 off. Also, subscribe to this podcast and check out Stu Does America. Tonight, Stu does the Washington Redskins. It's going to be a fun one. Make sure you subscribe to that podcast as well and get all of our episodes for free. And make sure to rate and review all of our podcasts with 5 stars because that's the appropriate amount of stars. Here's the podcast.
You're listening to the best of the Glenn Beck program.
Welcome to the Glenn Beck program, and welcome to Mr. Pat Gray from Pat Gray Unleashed, the podcast you can hear wherever you get your podcasts, or you can hear him record it live right prior to this broadcast on Blaze Radio. Hello, Pat Gray.
Hello, Glenn Beck. Yes, all of those things are very, very true. And so it's the fact that, you know, if you're down on everything that's going on right now, you can forget all your troubles by ordering cookies from scrumptiouscookies.com.
Nice. You are just doing sponsored segment.
Was that just a shameless plug?
Yes, I do have to charge you for that, especially since you haven't sent me any cookies lately.
Oh, that's true. We should do that. Yeah. Well, that'll be the payment. Yeah. I mean, that's worth $50,000 worth of radio time.
Those cookies are worth $50,000 worth of radio time.
They are.
That's scrumptiouscookie.com. I mean, that seems like
okay,
it's
all right. We got it. Pat's wife is making cookies, and they are, honestly. Mm-hmm. Did I tell you this? My sister was up, and I didn't say anything to my sister about them, and she never listens, so she has no clue. And I said, hey, I want you to try this this cookie, Coletta. And she took a bite out of it, and it was so funny because it was like watching my dad, and my kids said it's like watching dad eat cookies because I I analyzed them like my father used to, who was a baker.
Yeah.
And she did too, and she just, her eyes popped open. She said, this is a really good cookie. And I said, right?
Yeah.
I mean, how come dad is like washed up now? What is up with this? They're better than anything my father ever made. And my father was a really good pastry chef.
A huge compliment. Thank you. Yeah, it's really nice to have a product that you can be proud of, you know, and I kind of am proud of her cookies. They're pretty good.
You're almost as proud of the cookies as Colin Kaepernick is of America, I feel like.
Oh, not quite that proud, because that's hard to match, that kind of pride.
Yeah, because as you know, Pat,
it's not about the flag. It's not about the country. No. It's not about the anthem. No. It's not about anything.
It's about police brutality.
What evidence do you have?
It's about.
What evidence do you have that it is about the... that it is about the country or the flag?
I tend to see a hint of it. A hint of it being about the country.
But it's so subtle, you have to really dig deep, don't you?
Now, listen closely. Okay. See if you can parse this.
All right.
Because it's
going to be hard.
It's very difficult, and I want you guys to make sure you...
Because we're told every day, it's not about the flag. No. It's not about the country. It's not about the anthem.
No. Okay, here we go. Black people have been dehumanized, brutalized, criminalized, and terrorized by America for centuries,
and are expected to join your commemoration of independence while you enslaved our ancestors. We reject your celebration of white supremacy.
Oh, wow.
So, I mean, I can't...
Was that a news statement this weekend?
Yeah, that's from this weekend.
Oof.
Now, there's a hint of it there.
No, I hadn't even heard that one.
Unbelievable.
See, I think I could see how you would read that way.
That it's not about the country.
Yeah, and that it's not about division or anything when he says, you know, and then you expect us to join your commemoration of independence.
Right, like when he's saying your, you almost think like he's talking about other people.
Yeah, it's like I'm not part of this country.
Yeah.
I'm not part of this country. I hate this country. It's kind of like that.
Now, it is, of course, identical to previous statements he's made with the same thing from the beginning, from the moment he started protesting, when he was saying it was about the country and the flag specifically.
Right. Mentioned those things very specifically.
Yep, when he said this country has never been great for African Americans. Mm-hmm. He wants to make it great for the first time. There was some elements of that I picked up and thought maybe he's talking about the country generally, but no, just about those very specific examples of police brutality that are well known. That's
right,
it. That's
right,
all he's been talking about
all
this
right.
whole time.
Okay, so I've got some good news for you. The Edmonton Eskimos have decided to keep that racist name.
Oh my God.
After an extensive year-long formal research and engagement program with the Inuit leaders and community members
Bastards.
Across Canada.
Wow. That's unbelievable, isn't
it? Yeah, even though the Inuit, the actual Eskimos, they don't have a problem with it.
Well, they don't know any
they're
better.
They're still
Glenn.
Bastards.
They don't know they should be offended by that. They don't know any better.
Of course they're not white.
Right.
So we need some white liberals out there to help them.
Yeah.
Exactly.
This is an ongoing plan where we take away things that groups that are supposed to be offended actually love. Like the Washington Redskins, like Aunt Jemima syrup, where African Americans are overwhelmingly the biggest customers for Aunt Jemima syrup. However, we have to tell them that they need to be offended by it and therefore should not be able to buy it anymore because us as white people understand their plight better than they do.
And how about Uncle Ben? Let's get into that racist smiling on the label there. What kind of stereotype is that? That blacks smile all the time? Is that what that is?
Still, listen to you both. You just laugh it up, clowns.
I know.
Laugh it up.
Right.
Meanwhile, Mr. Coffee, the one who dominates every kitchen and oppresses everything else in the kitchen, is left to just run the show. The white Mr. Coffee. The Cleveland Indians are now thinking about changing their names.
They will.
And the Redskins are going to do another thorough review of the team's name. I don't know what you have to review. We know why the name Redskins was selected. The first coach was Native American, was he not?
He's Native American when they named the team. Right. They did it to honor him and also several Native American players at the time. The phrase, and to this moment, I have literally never heard the phrase used by a person in a derogatory manner other than the Redskins suck, meaning the football team. But I've never heard anyone using it in a derogatory manner at all towards Native Americans, with the exception you can go back to the 1800s and find ways. However, that was not the original way it was intended. Like, so it started out as a term used by Native Americans to describe themselves. Then there were some instances of racial use in history. Mm-hmm. However, that was not the use at the
time
or now.
Yeah.
So at some point in the middle, 200 years ago, people used this term in a bad way. And that's supposed to mean that we need to change the name now. It's insanity.
And this one is interesting because it's being led by FedEx, who has asked the Redskins to change their name. And they've got a $200 million investment in the Redskins. But I don't know if Daniel Snyder will cave into this.
The way they worded that statement makes me think they are.
You think they will?
Oh, yeah. I mean, just they're like...
Because he has fought tooth and nail against this stuff.
Why are you doing another review then?
Yeah.
Why are you doing another review? I just feel like...
And it's different now.
They think they can get away with the folding because so many other companies have folded. Mm-hmm. And therefore, there's going to be loss in the shuffle of the constant folding of everybody else. And I'm sure Daniel Snyder is sick of dealing with this. I would like the review to come back. It'd take about 6 months and come back and just release a one-word statement. Nah. Washington Redskins statement on the name change. Nah. And that's it.
I like that. I like that. Although the Washington Post, I don't think, would like it too much. Did you see the article? While offensive TV shows get pulled, problematic books are still inspiring debate and conversation.
Books.
So we now have to go after books.
Is it time to burn them?
As Confederate... it doesn't say actually anything about matches or burning the books yet. As Confederate statues finally tumble across America, television networks are marching through their catalogs looking to take down racially offensive content. Turns out that little video monuments were lurking all across the TV canon, more shocking with each new announcement. Just this month, blackface scenes have been rediscovered and removed from The Office, Community, 30 Rock, and Scrubs. The Office? Really? I don't remember that scene. Of course not. Collective amnesia is essential condition for perpetuating poisonous stereotypes.
I really don't remember that scene.
Oh my gosh.
Though.
I don't either.
As you were saying that, I was like, he's saying the words I'm thinking. I really do not remember that scene.
This writer goes into, now this is the Washington Post.
The what post?
About how there are books now
The slave owner
really
post?
Need to
is,
be.
Is that what you're saying? The slave owner post? George Washington? Slave owner? The Washington Post actually printed something criticizing the name, the Washington statues. It's like, it's in the name of your paper, you dunce.
You could have called it the DC Post, but you didn't.
You didn't.
So.
I bet they will soon.
Yeah.
They probably will. The folding is just embarrassing at this point. It's just embarrassing. All these people crumbling. For what? Mm-hmm. You know, for what? And this is, I kind of came to I want to run this guy by you. This is totally a work in progress, so it could be a terrible theory. But I started thinking about this weekend, in that here is a country that I think is a good place, generally. Like, I think it's a good place, and I like it here, and I think it's the best country on earth. And I had to think about that a little bit, because I wrote something for The Blaze on this topic. And as I was thinking about it, I was like, one of the ways you understand you're making real progress is when the complaints become dumber. They just become so incredibly stupid. Like, for example, like African Americans at one point were fighting to actually not be slaves anymore. They didn't want to be slaves. They were enslaved as a race, and they were working for nothing and enslaved as a race. Now they are complaining that the holiday, which would commemorate them no longer being a slave, is not a big enough deal.
Yeah.
Like, that is real progress.
Let me give you another example of that. At the University of Wisconsin in Madison, they want to take down the Lincoln statue because, yes, while he was anti-slavery, he really wasn't pro-black enough.
Right.
So, what? What?
Right.
Was he supposed to be a member of the NAACP in 1863? Wow.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
And these aren't like... A statue coming down doesn't help one black person do anything.
Nope.
Doesn't help them accomplish anything, doesn't help them advance in society,
no.
Doesn't help,
but that's
at
not,
all. We're no longer at the point.
That's not the goal.
Right.
Not the goal.
That's for sure.
Mm-hmm. Is to erase our history. Mm-hmm. And quite honestly, I hear this and I feel the same way. This is ridiculous. This isn't going to last. That's what every empire says. That's what every country says right before it goes down the crapper.
Yep. You know,
everybody's like, well, it won't happen. It's happening. It's happening right now.
And it's happening and in multiple ways, too.
Oh, yeah.
Because, like, right. We've had
on every front.
Mm-hmm. Several of these big movements that have, like, for example, the right after Parkland, you had the shoot, the gun, they went after guns like crazy. You had the Me Too situation, which, again, flared mm-hmm. up. And it's, you know, feels like it's died down at some level where not every day you have a new accusation against some, you know, figure that you thought was beloved was apparently the worst person that's ever lived. That seemed to have died down, but then now there's this. Like, there's this is constant. It's that chaos theory you've been talking about forever, Glenn. It's like there's this constant mm-hmm. churn of these massive crises.
Mm-hmm.
I knew it was in there somewhere. Crises that take the foundation and just rip it up. There's nothing left. So if these things on their face are fine, but it's overturning the foundation of the country. There's no stability.
I would just like to point out that when I said their masks are going to come off, we thought their masks had come off here recently. Did we not? Did we not all say like, oh, wow, yeah. There's what, a year ago? There it is. No. Have you noticed they keep unmasking themselves and it gets deeper and deeper? The things that were said about July 4th and Independence Day and our founders and everything else is shocking to me. Absolutely shocking to mm-hmm. see the press. They have taken their masks off. They're not just Marxists. They are truly revolutionaries that are cheering for the destruction of America. And yep. America better stand up pretty soon, better say something pretty soon, because this silent majority is looking like a very silent, weak, and pathetic minority. And I don't know about anybody else, but I want action. This is putting us in a situation. Look, what the president said, everything he said in front of Mount Rushmore, I thought was right. The one thing I didn't like was this. I'm going to do an executive order. We're going to have a park with monuments. I don't want a park with monuments. Mm-hmm. I want our monuments left alone. Leave them where they are. Period. I want somebody to start standing up for what is right and what is truly American.
The best of the Glenn Beck program.
Hey, it's Glenn, and you're listening to the Glenn Beck Program. If you like what you're hearing on this show, make sure you check out Pat Gray Unleashed. It's available wherever you download your favorite podcasts.
You seem to have something bubbling a little bit inside your noggin.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay, so, you know, you have this guy who nobody really knows how he made his money, right? I mean, he's an investment guy, but nobody really knows. How did he go from a teacher to a billionaire?
Right.
You know?
Only the guy. The only thing is the Victoria's Secret or the Limited. That guy, his billions. For some reason, he was very, very trusting of this guy with very little experience in managing money. Except for, of
and
course,
yet
his
it worked out very well.
Yeah. The only thing he really had any sort of experience with was running a Ponzi scheme, which he was not prosecuted for. Unfortunately, a lot of people's
right.
lives would have been changed if he was, hopefully.
Right.
But yeah, never. He got that one just kind of slipped away. The other, his partner got prosecuted, not Jeffrey Epstein. And then mm-hmm. That experience somehow won him into running a billionaire's fortune. And all of his cash, which is a strange, strange choice. Is that part of your suspicion?
Hey, I have this science teacher over here. He's actually biology, so it's, you know, it's science, but it's not like running numbers or computers. You know what I mean? What? How did he get this? Then he makes billions of dollars. He becomes one of the richest people in the world. And then he becomes everybody's best friend who happens to be a little bit scummy.
Mm.
He's everybody's best friend. You know, Kevin Spacey, Bill Clinton, even Donald Trump was his friend for a while. But I don't know how you... I don't know if you were going on trips with him, like the Clintons. I don't know how you didn't know. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I mean, in this Netflix documentary on Epstein, they have multiple people who were like contractors working on this island, and all of them seemed to know about it. They're all very suspicious as to why there were constantly 15 and 16 year old girls running around there, sometimes without clothes on. It was not a
a secret.
Yeah, it didn't seem to be well hidden. If that was mm-hmm. the goal.
So what do you think about the theory that he might have been intelligence asset?
I don't know about that part of the theory. And this is, I've seen this batted around a little bit, and that he was essentially trapping all these powerful people as an intelligence asset. I think even if you don't necessarily, before you even go down that road, because that's an interesting one as well, the idea of him being a guy who really liked this sort of activity, found other powerful people who also enjoyed the same activity, and was able to hold on to his freedom for as long as he did because he had an incredible amount of evidence on a credible amount of powerful people. So the theory that he could just be free because, look, he liked hanging out with young girls. He knew a lot of other people who did too. And he had cameras all over the island where they did all their stuff. So he could constantly use that as a shield against his own capture. There's that sort of level of this theory. You're going a step further than that even to say that this was an intentional outside foreign government sort of issue.
Not necessarily a foreign government.
Or a U.S. government?
I mean, just think of how much power you would have if you had the world's most powerful people on tape. You know? And that would be something that a government, you know, a deep state kind of scumbaggy do-anything-for-power government, can't think of one, would of say, hey, you know, we could throw your ass in jail for all time, or you could just kind of work with us a bit. We just need some stuff on, let's say, we just need some information on the Queen. What does she eat every day? How does she keep her slender figure like that? What is she still exercising?
They got some information on the Prince. I don't know. They got that far, but they certainly got some information.
I don't know.
On
you
the
just
Prince.
You just have, yeah, and I'm not necessarily saying it was for foreign governments as much as it is for just corporations and get them on our side. Get them, you know. That's a lot of power. That's you know, Hoover kind of power, and you know, Hoover. It didn't end well for Hoover, but everybody was afraid of Hoover until he was out. Now, I don't know if, you know, I don't know if Maxwell, I mean, they're saying she's singing like a bird.
It's a weird way this went down. I mean, she people were speculating she was all over the world. She was apparently in New Hampshire, gets arrested. And, you know, she was the girlfriend, if you haven't watched all these documentaries, all the girlfriend slash sort of teenager picker upper of the Epstein world, which was, again, we were kind of talking about this off the air. It's a world that's, it's one thing to say, okay, you're going to abuse a few women, right? Terrible, horrible person you are. You're going to prison.
You're an apologist for this now?
You're going to prison. It's terrible, horrible. It doesn't sound like apology. I mean,
of course it's terrible you abuse a few women.
No, but I'm trying to make a separate point, but I appreciate you interrupting it so you can make it look like I was saying something
else. I'm trying to help you.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. The point is, though, how would you think you could possibly get away with what he did. You know, if you have a couple of targets and you do something terrible to these a few women, maybe you think you're going to get away with it. This is a guy who routinely, over a multi-year time frame, would go out into local communities around him and abduct, basically, multiple 15 and 16-year-olds and bring them in to do all this stuff at his house, in which he was... in which he owned, was well known in the community, mm-hmm. was in a very
wasn't really wearing a mask
area, was not really wearing a mask. This is pre-COVID, was not wearing a mask. Mm-hmm. He is in a the richest community in the area where all of the rich people are that know everybody and everything about this community because it's tight knit and everyone knows when the new person moves in. He's bringing in people who are of lower means that don't normally go to this community, who bringing them in over and over and over again, and then having networks of recruiting going out into local high schools. Like, how on earth could you possibly believe that one of the 100 16-year-olds you bring into your home is not going to start talking to their mom about this when they feel bad about it later on? There's no way you could believe you're going to get away with this unless you had either just an incredible amount of hubris and believe you could pay your way out of everything because no one's going to believe this random 16-year-old. But when you've done it with 100 of them, there's going to be enough people who can come together and say, yes, this happened. Or you have some real high connections that you think can deflect all of these things when it comes down to it. It's hard to imagine, honestly, that anyone could just be this ballsy. I don't know how you think it's going to work without those connections.
Well, you could. Your arrogance could get out of control, but you wouldn't. Your arrogance wouldn't get out of control unless you had some sort of, you know, trump card hanging—not literally, but some sort of a you know, a card that you could pull out and go, "Yeah, I don't think you're going to look over here." You know, I mean, it's just it's
and it seemed like you did have it with.
I have an
except
easier
for the police.
Yeah.
Which is amazing. You know, here they are, the enemies of everyone. Oh, everyone. The police. Oh, my gosh. Everybody hates the police. You know, the only people who stood up for those victims were the police officers. Everybody else abandoned them all throughout government, basically. The police officers.
FBI, all of them.
Yeah. They actually stepped up and said, no, we're not going to let this happen. And continually beat this drum for multiple years after it had already been covered up. We still wouldn't have known if it wasn't for them, if it wasn't for the police officers continue so focused on making sure this guy paid for these crimes, we would have never known about them.
It's truly remarkable that he killed himself too.
I mean,
I just don't buy it. I don't buy. I have an easier time thinking Bigfoot killed John F. Kennedy than this guy killed himself in prison.
Really? Because I don't think there's a lot of people proposing the theory that Bigfoot killed John Kennedy. So you're out on a limb on that one.
That's way out on a limb. Yeah. But I would accept that one faster than this was just, no, the camera was out and the guys and they were just sleeping and it was weird and it was, you know, nobody came in there. He just hung himself. No, I don't believe it.
There's a new book about this too. Maybe we should get the authors on. There's a new book about this that basically dives into this and is only focused on whether the suicide was real. You know, like it's not focused on the entire story because there's a lot of Epstein stuff coming out. This is about like what happened at the prison. This doesn't make any sense.
Can we get that person on? We got to get that person on.
Yeah, it's two authors. I'll get the name of the book and stuff. Because I think
is their conclusion?
One of them is completely convinced that it was not suicide. One of them is completely convinced. The other one is like not completely convinced, but very skeptical. Like I would say is very open to the idea that it could have been it could not have been, you know, potentially suicide. The interesting thing, it's not just random people too. Like one of them is a, you know, a well-known journalist, has worked for, you know, mainstream and conservative leaning, I would say, sources. So, I mean, it's not like some crazy conspiracy book. I mean, it's just looking at the facts of the situation. And like, look, it's super suspicious. I mean, there is an idea that a person who has lived this life where they've done all of these things could just decide, screw it, what's the point? There's a lot of evidence, though, that that's not where his head was at that time. He was still pretty convinced. And honestly, Glenn, I think there's evidence to say that he had a decent case. Honestly, that's not the case that he was innocent of these crimes. The case, I mean, he signed an agreement with the federal government that he would not be prosecuted anymore for any of this stuff. And like, you know, they just basically said, and this has happened several times, and I think it's a bad development overall for the country, which is we get these things, they get resolved legally. And then we say, you know what, this is a big deal. And there's a lot of documentaries about it. Let's just break all those agreements and now prosecute the person again. And it's the same thing with Cosby. It's happened with several. Weinstein is in this area.
It's the same thing with the Me Too movement, where I've settled it. Mm-hmm. We paid out a big amount of money, and then you come back and you're like, no, I want some. I want to tell the truth. You can't do that. You can't have both.
I mean, Cosby,
you can't have both.
Cosby signed an agreement that he would not testify unless it was sealed. And then he testified, and then they just unsealed it because they really wanted him to go to prison. Well, that's not okay. I mean, I think all these guys are guilty, but that's not how this process is supposed to work.
This is the best of the Glenn Beck program. And don't forget, rate us on iTunes.
Just as you feel maybe a little beat up, like there's nobody talking common sense anymore, let's cover something the media won't. There are Republican candidates in the greater Baltimore area. Five Republican candidates that are African American. And we have one of them on. I think you're going to like her. Kim Klasick. She is a woman that moved to Baltimore around, right after I think Obama was elected, and she founded Potential Me, and this was something that would help women, get into the workforce and then develop themselves. I think it's really great. She assisted 200 women to become gainfully employed. 30% have gone on now to obtain financial independence. And Kim is with us now. Hi, Kim. How are you?
Hey, God. How are you doing? I'm doing good.
Good. So, Kim, tell me a little bit about yourself and why you're running.
Yeah, definitely. So, you know, like you said in the opening there, and thank you for that. I appreciate it. I started a workforce development nonprofit in the Baltimore City area about 8 years ago. And it was just really to help women coming out of incarceration, rehabilitation, and homelessness to get back into the workforce. Mm. So we decided to get them clothes, get them ready. We work with employment specialists. They would call us and let us know when they had job interviews, and then we would get them going. And so from there, I noticed there was a huge need for career opportunities in general, you know, not just the jobs, but the careers with the healthcare benefits and everything that everybody really wants to have. So I decided, you know what, I'm going to do more. I'm going to investigate it and see why we don't have so many more career opportunities in the Baltimore area. And as I was digging, I just noticed that I had so much potential to do so much more in the city. But Baltimore City officials weren't really getting it together. And then last summer in July, I decided to take my video camera through parts of West Baltimore to show the blight, the trash, the illegal dumping. I posted it online. President Trump saw it. He retweeted it. And then this discussion began about how resources weren't really going to so many people in need. There's a lot of neighborhoods in Baltimore that have been neglected. And we kind of wanted to just highlight that. And since then, we found out, you know, if you call DPW, who picks up the trash in Baltimore City in Harbor East, a very nice neighborhood, they answer the call 100% of the time. In Carlton Ridge, where I was with my video camera, where you saw the riots in 2015 after the death of Freddie Gray, they answer the call 5% of the time. So the disparity is there, and the resources are there. The money is there, but for some reason, it's just not getting it to the people in these neglected areas. So I decided to just throw my hat in the ring and give it a shot.
So you're actually going for Elijah Cummings' seat.
Yeah, so this is the general primary. We had the special election back in on April 28th. I did not win that, unfortunately, but I did go up against Kwaisi and Fume. He's now in the general primary with myself. We were able to capture 70% of the vote on June 2nd. So we're excited about it. We beat seven other candidates, some of them lifelong Republicans that have run before. I think people just want to change a new leadership.
So, Kim, tell me how, because I think it was Baltimore where they just threw another statue of Columbus into the Inner Harbor. What is happening in our African-American communities? What's really going on? How much of this is, how much of the I hate America, tear it all down is real, and how much is coming just from Marxist revolutionaries?
I would think 95% of it's coming from Marxist revolutionaries. I mean, you look in Baltimore, people don't remember, but in 2017, our mayor, who just went to prison because she was indicted for pay to play, but she actually did in 2017, she removed four Confederate statues because it was the trendy thing to do. Our homicide rate, carjackings, armed robberies, all of those numbers have gone up significantly since then. So it's not connected. People should understand that, know that by now. You know, this virtue signaling, it's literally just virtue signaling. It doesn't affect the poverty. It doesn't affect the education system that's broken or the crime and violence that's sky high. So I don't know why we continue to do this. You know, it was awful to see Columbus going into the Baltimore City Inner Harbor this weekend. But these are people that come into neighborhoods that they don't belong to. They didn't spend the money to put that statue there. And as far as I know, we got rid of our Confederate statues 4 years ago or 3 years ago. But, you know, people just don't seem
but
to
I don't think it's,
remember.
You know, it's like listening to Colin Kaepernick. Oh, it's not about the flag. It's not about the country. It's about police oppression. Well, now he comes out this weekend and says, you know, that this is a horrible, dreadful, racist country. And, you know, all of the voices seem to be uniting, including those in the press, on, you know, Independence Day is a white supremacist day and we don't want anything to do with it. And we're looking at the destruction of our country.
Yes. Yeah. No, I don't understand why we're, you know, it's hard to understand how people are getting enraged over things that just don't change their life or the trajectory of their future. It doesn't make any sense. So yeah, Colin Kaepernick, all these people, you know, they're really getting famous and getting paid off of, I call it fear mongering. You know, we're not talking about defund the police in Baltimore City, where we had 348 homicides last year. We're on, we're progressing this year and we'll have even more this year. So, you know, it doesn't affect us. It's literally just the trendy thing to do. You see a lot of people at these protests, and they're there to take Facebook pictures or you know, post it on Snapchat. They're not even, you know, really talking about what they're protesting. You ask them what they want in the end, no one seems to have an answer. So they're making these demands of absolutely nothing.
So what is the, do you think there's a disconnect, or what is the disconnect between Black Republicans being the majority on city councils versus struggling to put through a Republican candidate in Congress?
Well, it's, you know, basically the difference in parties. You know, as I'm a Republican, everybody on city council, our city has been run by Democrats for the past 60 years. And they truly make people believe that they're there to help them. But, you know, they're pushing the welfare state. I tell people, you know, the only way that you're going to come out of poverty is with employment. That's the only way that's going to happen. So you got to want to go to work. You have to, and we met a lot of people that do want to go to work. You know, we met a lot of people that don't want handouts. They just want that hand up and continue to go. But, you know, in this area, it's basically here, we'll give you this, we'll give you that, and then you'll be just fine. But people become dependent on the government. They can only get but so far. We talk a lot about Section 8 and how fathers aren't even able to live in the home to receive that program and funding. And that's another thing. You know, we've dismantled the family structure within the Black community over the past few years, or I would say even a decade or so. And that's a big, big problem. You know, those that don't have that two-parent family in the home, they're bringing in less money, less income. You know, so of course they're going to have more issues, you know, surrounding money problems. So it's not rocket science. It's just common sense, but nobody wants to seem to apply it here.
So how do we get African-Americans to look at actual Black Lives Matter? Their website says part of their platform is to destroy the nuclear family. That seems right. Anti-American, anti-family, anti-African-American, that families are very important. How can we connect Black Lives Matter to their own words and their own philosophies, which shouldn't appeal to African-Americans?
Right. And, you know, and I love that New York Times, they did an article, I guess it was 2 weeks ago, showing that, you know, 64% of the people even involved in Black Lives Matter are not actually Black. You know, they're white. But, you know, we've really got to have bigger voices. You know, LeBron James, people like that, even Colin Kaepernick, if they would just take a second and read what the mission is and tell people exactly what's going on, you know, then people would listen. You know, when it's me saying it, when it's Kanye West, when it's someone that they don't consider to be Black enough, you know, that's a thing these days, right, to be a coon or an Uncle Tom. But if we had voices that said, look, this is a mission, this is not going to work. I mean, you know, you've got LeBron James, who came from a single-parent household. He knows exactly what it was like to grow up like that. And then you've got Colin Kaepernick. He was adopted and had a beautiful family structure, and he knows what it's like to grow up like that. You know, so it's kind of like, why can't we just have these real discussions and conversations? And somebody's got to get these guys to the table and talk about it. I think, you know, Charlemagne the God and the Breakfast Club, you know, they had on Joe Biden. It would be great for them to have other people come in and really talk about, you know, what's going on as far as conservative values and our beliefs. A lot of African-Americans don't even know they are conservative. You know, a lot of us grow up in the church. We know a lot about how important family structure is because you either lived on the one side with a single parent or the other side with two parents. And you understand, you had parents that are friends that lived on both sides, and so you get it. But we need to talk about, you know, why it's so important to keep the family together, why careers are the only way you're going to lift someone out of employment or poverty, and why it's important to even have employment, and how that is helpful for, you know, this health insurance and the dental insurance. And, you know, we've set the bar so low for people. We need to focus on getting better, not just in the Black community, but in the country as a whole. You know, we can help each other. I don't know why we have to be so divisive. You know, when you hear something like Black Lives Matter, that is divisive. That's divisive language, which they accuse President Trump of having all the time. So I find that even interesting.
That's crazy. So, Kim, let me ask you one final question. Donald Trump was doing well with African-Americans on the Black vote and kind of fell apart a little bit, we think, because of coronavirus, where now everybody mm-hmm. is struggling to make ends meet, et cetera, et cetera. But during that mm-hmm. time, there seemed to be an awakening with the African-American community, Kanye West, Candace Owens, et cetera, et cetera. Is that real? Is that still happening? Is there something happening to African-Americans where they're waking up and going, you know, this isn't working out well for us?
Yes, I think, you know, that was coming around because you could see the numbers. You could see the drop, you know, the unemployment numbers was at its lowest ever at that point in time. He was talking about the money he was giving to HBCUs. And for me, with my workforce development nonprofit, that First Step Act was so important, and I would harp on that all the time. You know, we would have people coming out of incarceration, and, you know, they went in there before technology was really a thing. So they come out, mm-hmm. they can't even fill out job applications online and on the computer mm-hmm. because they're still trying to figure it all out. But that First Step Act, that is what was getting them the training so they have those skills so they can go and apply for these jobs. And so people, you know, started to see that, and started family members, you know, that weren't employed for so long, you know, finally getting jobs and good careers. So, you know, as soon as we get back on track, I think after this pandemic, we might see that even before November 3rd.
Well, I wish you all the best of luck, Kim. I sincerely do. We need new, fresh blood in Congress and people who will stand up for the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution. So I wish you all the best of luck. That's Kimberly Klackick. You can follow her on Twitter. Klasick, I'm sorry. You can follow her at Kim Baltimore, at Kim K Baltimore. You can also find Kim K for Congress.com if you would like to help her out with her bid to Congress. Kim K for Congress.com.